I'm a lightweight now. I don't drink so much as I used to.
Yeah. Oh, man, I go hard. Like, I don't care. My liver hates me.
I'm a social drinker, and I live alone.
There's four of us in here.
Well, and I'm drinking.
Hello and welcome to Apostates on the Fringe, the podcast where we discuss religious and political news from a leftist atheist perspective. The show is sponsored by the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We are your hosts. I'm Dustin. With me, as always, is Sam and Alistair. And how are y'all doing? Welcome back to the studio.
Doing good. And you?
Are we introducing our drinks this time?
Oh, we're always introducing. Yeah. We're always drinking. So you took, okay. What do you got, Sam? You got something new?
I got finally. S'mores Porter from Highwire Brewing, and it's pretty good. It's rather indulgent, but whatever.
I looked at that last time I went to get beer.
Yeah, I couldn't. It said, like, chocolate and vanilla and cinnamon, and I'm just like...
Is it a dark beer? Because it's in the can,
yeah,
so
dark.
I can't really tell.
Surely.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't had a dark beer in a while.
It is rather indulgent.
I have the... I have my... again, I went with the Sweetwater Brewing Company again. They do have a few when they're not IPAs, although I think the majority of their shit is IPAs. But this one's Sweetwater Blue. It is a blueberry wheat ale. And it's really nice, and it's like a bright, light flavor, and it's really good. So I discovered it. It's good. And I discovered it. It was actually served to us by mistake. I was with a friend at Aubrey's, and we had ordered fucking something else, probably, you know, a Blue Moon or something. I don't know. And they brought this shit out. And I was like, well, that's definitely not the color of it. But I was like, you know what? I'll take it. Like, it's really good. So I get it often.
Sweetwater Blue is one of my favorite of that line.
Like the lighter blonde?
The Sweetwater... beers. Blue and Mango Kush are my two favorites.
I have not been able to find the Mango Kush. I've tried.
I'm hoping it's just because they have so many seasonals out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really worried that they're just getting rid of it.
It's speaking of seasonals, I went back to the same place I got the Troptimistic last time, which again is severely out of season. They still have some more. I'm just sitting on it.
I have the Left Hand Brewing Company's Bittersweet Nitro again.
That's a coffee, right?
Yeah.
Coffee stout? Those are good. Yeah. I haven't tried that one yet. And from what you said last time, like almost 9%. It's
yummy.
I bet.
It's like all right, thick.
So I guess in the news today, we're going to discuss on our first story, the first detention center being opened under the Biden administration.
It's actually two.
There was one that was already in existence, but this is the one they opened, right? The first one they opened?
I think we opened one in Florida, too.
And this is the one in Carrizo Springs, Texas.
Yes.
They're claiming, according to Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson or press secretary, that this was a COVID precaution to help separate them, and that they do plan on closing it, and this is temporary. What do you think of that?
Well, when they had the tent city, it was another tent city ran by the same company running this one. Trump administration kept saying this is a temporary housing situation. We're only going to keep them in there for a couple of weeks until we can find them placement,
mm-hmm.
which is the exact same thing that Biden's saying. The exact same thing.
And this is you said that's the BCFS.
Yeah, it's the exact same company. I bet they have contracts.
They do. Yeah, they're contracted.
Yeah, I think the HHS, which is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, said that currently they have 6,800 accompanied minors. So the ones they're putting in the facilities, I guess, are the ones that arrive without parents, and rather than, I guess, send them away back on this journey, you know, alone, they detain them in these migrant camps, but these are tent cities, you said?
They're tent cities, yeah.
Do we know what the conditions are there? Because I really don't know.
It's Texas, so if it's during the summer, you know, it's going to be nice and fucking hot out there. Was last year when they ended up keeping kids out there for months at a time.
It was about 105, wasn't it? About 105 right. degrees it got up to.
And I think it's like Tornillo or something. The one that was open most of the summer a couple years ago. And the kids were held there not for a couple of weeks, but for months at a time. It's just big tents with bunk beds lined through them, and they got to go out like once a day in the morning to play soccer.
Do we think that the COVID excuse is a bullshit?
Just try to make it like summer camp, you know? You can play soccer, go back to your bunks.
They
did.
They put the they had the lights on out there so they can play at night instead of during the day. I mean, it's a nice sentiment, but I mean...
No, kids that were there were saying typically it was in the morning was the only time they got to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So do we buy that the detention, that this additional facility was reopened due to COVID, or do we think that there's, you know, an influx of...
As you said, that if there's a private corporation involved, it's for their profit line.
But I think
BCFS is non-profit, is it not?
It is a non-profit, okay. But somebody's still getting a...
Somebody still gets paid. There's a paycheck. Well, they also got a $312 million contract in 2019 to reopen that facility. I don't know how much they got this time. But
I wonder what the board members, how much their salary is.
I have no idea. Of course, they're not gonna. Did they have to broadcast that?
Yeah.
Is there a nonprofit?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure if they do or not, but it'd be interesting to look at because it's not for profit, doesn't mean somebody isn't making, you know, profit off of them themselves in some way.
Do you think the media is ignoring that versus what they did when it was under Trump, or do you think, are they properly shitting on Biden too for this?
And I've seen a lot of people make excuses. You know, I keep seeing, well, you know, this is an emergency situation, and, you know, because Biden isn't just, you know, deporting the kids when they get over here, and he has to do something with them. But a tent city?
This stuff was going on in the Obama administration,
right,
too, though.
But, you know,
and that was one of the, when I got into shit with Trump supporters, you know, that was the main thing they brought up. Oh, Obama did the same thing. It's like, well, fuck him, too. fuck all of them.
Right.
Like I said, when there's something like this that is continuing from administration to administration.
I will say I don't necessarily have the answer on what the alternative would be, you know.
Okay, my thing is imagine you have a kid that, say you end up in the hospital for a long time and you don't have anybody to care for your kids. And, like, DCS comes in and none of your family is able or willing to take your kid, so your kid has to end up in a temporary situation. Mm. Would a fucking tent city be good enough for your kid?
Fair point.
Like, why is it okay? Why is it good enough for these kids?
Is it because... I don't know if it's not because it's good enough, but what if it's because of the sheer number of kids they have?
We have abandoned hospitals.
Yeah.
All over this country.
That's very true.
Where they can get put one bunk bed in there, have it as a dorm type situation.
You know what you did?
Give them comforts, a TV per room.
Well, the things we... I believe the estimates in 2019 was that the cost given to this company through the grants that the government was paying was essentially $700+ per child per day.
$779 per child per day. And we can't give them something better than a fucking tent.
Yeah, so that money's going somewhere. That
money's going
somewhere. Not
else.
Even a tent,
yeah,
for themselves.
Like, I'm
they
sure
have a big
that they don't
tent
have 5-star meals
with
or anything,
like 10
so
bunk beds in them. At least this was pre-COVID. They may have taken a few of the bunk beds. It may be down to 6 bunk beds.
Like, now our healthcare prices are high, but I wonder if even like a hospital day per day would be even $700.
Probably not.
Like, at an active, like,
electricity. Doing, I mean, they're already set up. You put a bunk bed in each room. I mean, it could be a small for 700 kids. Is that what they're saying? Or how many kids are they expecting?
So they're splitting. They're moving them about in the hundreds to the other facility because, again, they had 6,800 they have total right now.
All right. If you had a bunk bed in each room, you can have a small little county hospital, probably would be enough.
Well, with some time, we could see if they actually do that. You said this. They said, just as Trump did, if this is temporary, if it really is temporary. Did they really fire everyone that was, like, you know, the forced abortions and the, like, molestation that was happening under the Trump? Did they fire those people, or are these the same?
You're talking about the guy that they were performing, like, the... They were essentially mutilating them. They were doing, like, birth procedures, birth control procedures.
Yeah, did those
procedures
people get fired?
You know, I haven't heard anything.
Probably nothing changed.
Most,
yeah,
well,
nothing
we didn't
changed.
Hear
same people.
The news cycle.
Same corporation, same people,
speaking
same
of
contractors.
The news cycle, Stephen Miller, you know, who was the Nazi advising Trump on deportation, went on Fox News and called Biden, like, cruel and inhumane.
he called Biden cruel and inhumane. This,
yeah.
Yeah, funny how they switch like that. Now they care about it all of a sudden.
Oh, it's always been that way. I mean, yeah, of course. Here in, I think, less than a month, we're going to start hearing about, you know, deficit and debt. But I want to go back to the point you mentioned earlier. Actually, I think it was you, Sam, that, you know, will it be temporary? Well, we didn't believe it under Trump because Trump was, you know, he lied.
I don't believe it under Biden either.
I don't, but I don't know. I don't have a metric for him yet, so we'll
he's
see
held
if he doesn't.
More accountable than Trump was.
So I don't know. I'll be happy to shit on him even more.
He's
so.
He's already gone back on so much of his campaign shit.
He's been in there.
Yeah,
for 2 months.
Did, yeah, he did. Yeah, he's canceled. No. I want to say did he campaign on the debt cancellation? Because he immediately backed out of that shit. The
I think he said $50,000. Yeah, he's saying he won't do more than
$10,000. Well, just as any candidate says, they throw out shit they can't actually do. Like, he's just making promises to get
but
shit.
But we told everybody.
He knows he can't actually do that. He knows that he's... Biden is a dog on a leash. And you're getting mad at the dog when I'm mad at the leash holders. Like...
But we told everybody when he was campaigning, and they're like, well, he said he's going
like
to end
said,
this, he's going to erase this.
Doesn't
and
matter
like,
who
no,
you vote in,
not.
They're going to be the dog on the leash. Biden, whoever you vote in, is just going to be that fucking dog on the leash, and that's why they're on the leash. So they're paraded about in front of the cameras so you can get mad at the dog for barking. I'm mad at the fucking dog's master.
Well, so when you're talking about what they campaign on, I listened to a podcast I listen to regularly called Opening Arguments, and they were discussing the Electoral College, and that's a lot of the problems because they only had to campaign to certain states and go to their, you know, to what would drive those voters. So that also is kind of why they campaign the way they do and then end up not performing because, you know, they don't have to at this point, I guess.
No, they tell people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And then there's some of us who are like, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. I mean,
it's all bullshit.
I didn't hold Obama as accountable as I should have. I wasn't as much into politics as I was. And
Obama's a lot of hindsight, too, because basically, from where we are now, we can see how worthless Obama's two terms were.
Well,
he didn't do half of what he could have and should have. And it's all been erased by now, like where we're sitting. Like, what did Obama, like, everything that Obama did was either erased or glazed over after.
Well, it was
his
first
4 years
term that Occupy happened, and I was out there for that, but there's a lot of things
he
that
was
I
so
didn't
restrained.
Know about that, just because I wasn't
he was
as educated in politics back then, but I understood, I've always understood that the corporations, this top 1%, is fucking us all. And our government caters to them.
Oh, well, yeah, they're the leash holders.
But after Biden got elected, I kind of made it like a mental note to myself to try to hold, you know, Biden to the same kind of accountability that I you know, held Trump to when it came to the things he did. Because a lot of the news sources I get, they tend to gloss over and... Not that I subscribe to any left-leaning, you know, media, but your, you know, so-called quote-unquote mainstream media
right.
do paint a picture because of what, you know, what they want us to see. And so I my goal is to be at least as diligent as I was and then still fighting for it and not defend. But when it comes to like this right here, I just don't have a solution, you know, because when corporations are in control, can Biden step in and change what... Can he cancel that contract? Can he...
Make stipulations on it. Yes, we'll go through with this, but we need an actual roof over these kids' mm-hmm. head and not a tent. We need...
It'd probably be cheaper,
know?
Too, if they just... If they, you know, had a contract that wasn't bankrolled to, you know, fund some company, because it does not cost that much to put kids in a tent.
It really doesn't need to be any private company that is... and managing it all. Anytime
you would
like
trust the government over a corporation, though, I mean, I guess we wouldn't have to worry about the money going somewhere else, which is what we're doing the same thing with
the government. The government already highly misspends, yeah. You know, already, so it's I don't think there would be a solution there either.
But yeah, I would prefer. I mean, like, I want corporations out of the prison industry. This is just another kind of.
The thing
I
is,
agree.
Okay, when,
kind of
when
the
government is involved, there is a certain level of transparency that has to happen. With a private company, there is none.
Yeah, yeah.
It's harder to regulate.
If you're a private company siphoning money, you're a private company.
Especially when you're a nonprofit,
if you're a government agency and you're stealing money from them, you're stealing money for the government, and they do give a shit.
Yeah, again, like I said, especially if you're a nonprofit, you know, the financials, you know, depending on what they bring in, they don't always have to report. Now, this one...
Also profits, yeah.
Government, you know. I mean, they definitely, they're paying themselves, obviously, you know, a sum. You know, right. They have a, you know, a president. And their board members.
Yeah, if you were a company who's, just as with the police industry, doesn't want weed to be legalized because it's such an easy thing for them to police and it gives them more money, this company makes a profit off of the destabilization of Mexico, and it's in their best interest that Mexico stays destabilized. If you have like corporations that are profiting off of chaos, then they're going to support more chaos and become a part of it, just as a tent city is part of the chaos of the destabilization at the border.
Yeah, I just don't know what we as citizens can do besides... I know there was a lot of protests during when, you know, when the images of the kids in cages came out, because those were awful. I mean, those images were just fucking, because they right. literally did separate from their parents. Whereas, and at least I will give some credit where credit is due. They did immediately, Biden did sign an executive order ending that policy, but they're still putting kids in these facilities.
Right.
So.
And like you were saying, if we're going to show outrage when Trump puts kids in those facilities, Why would we not show the same amount of outrage with Biden using those exact same
I think it was facilities. The imagery, because we had images of literally kids in cages, and that's where a lot and of it was a bipartisan outrage at that time.
I mean, it was also, we knew that Trump had literal Nazis in his ears making these, like you were saying, Stephen Miller, like, he's a literal Nazi who has said, hey, I'm a white supremacist, and then he's making, like, laws and... like supporting things against a migrant, you know, a foreign migrant people. Like, it was clear, like, a white supremacist line where Biden's just like, oh, it's just normal, everyday human suffering under the Democrats as it was under Obama.
So do you think this, you know, this facility being open warrants, you know, the same outrage?
Okay. I do. I mean, for no other reason than they could have come up with more humane conditions than a tent city.
Or at least a separate contractor who had a history of... mm-hmm. I know they had some complaints and some issues.
They had a facility in California that had so many issues that agencies in California refused to send kids there. I don't know how... there was a lawsuit, I think, about that, and I'm not sure how it ended up. I think the company was saying that they've corrected all those issues and stuff. But
do we know what kind of oversight they have that monitors the conditions and the behavior and how they treat the?
I actually do not know what kind of oversight.
No, I couldn't find anything either. I went through several articles yesterday to kind of learn into this, and it was very hard to get into.
The same is true with any issue. Follow the money.
Here's the thing: is when these camps open. See how easy it is for them to get visitors, for people to go in and get pictures. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they fought that with and Trump.
They absolutely did.
So
I remember that.
Is it going to be kind of open, or is it going to be this, like, what happens here stays here? Because anytime that happens, it's a problem.
I mean, it's like I was saying earlier, it's the same people working for this company that was working mm-hmm. under the Trump administration. Like, they didn't... I really doubt they went through and... fired the whole administration around. That is the company. The heart of the company is still there. They obviously are doing it for a profit, not because
it was just reopened on Monday, I believe, but I don't know if there's been any attempts or access requests made to, I guess, visit the facility. I mean, they're probably just now populating them as we speak anyways. I
right.
Because they're moving them in buses at this point. But I guess we'll have to...
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll have to see and see if... you know, they let out their ass and this stays open. What would be, obviously we're still during the pandemic, and if that is ultimately their reason. Because
they certainly didn't give a shit before that it was a pandemic.
And they had, he was inaugurated in, you know, January 21st. And I mean, it's, you know, it's been a little over a month later. Isn't that why they opened it in 2019. They didn't open it all last year during the mm-hmm. pandemic, did they?
Nope.
But that was also Trump, who didn't really take the pandemic seriously. So, I mean, I honestly don't know. I kind of want to assume that Biden definitely is taking the pandemic more seriously.
But
and that could
city.
Be a reason.
He definitely
is. I didn't say the facility itself, yeah. But I'm saying their reasoning for doing so to reopening.
I mean, yes, you can't just throw these kids across the border and say, see you. You can't just throw them on our streets. These kids need to be housed, but you can do it in a way that they feel like they have a home until they find their home. And a tent city does not accomplish that.
It doesn't, but here's another thing I had a fear of by quickly placing them in homes, is that if they're not properly vetted, I mean, that's just another avenue for child trafficking.
Yeah, like I was saying, orphanages are just as much ripe with abuse than any tent city.
That's a concern I would have had as well.
Wherever they move them, they're still fucked no matter what.
That's just why I just have. I don't know. I mean, aside from
especially if it's the same company that doesn't give a shit about.
As I said, getting rid of these contractors and I guess moving.
But how powerful are these contractors? You're gonna have to look in. Follow the money.
Follow the money,
because like I said. Are you mad at the dog or are you mad at the leash holders? Who's holding the leash on these people? Where's the money actually coming from? What other corporations do they hold?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, this is ACAB of the week. All right, let's do our ACAB of the week. We have Angelo Quinto was a 30-year-old Navy vet who died after he lost consciousness when an officer knelt on his neck.
It was for 5 seconds, right?
Five minutes.
I said seconds. Yeah. I mean, 5 minutes. They don't learn. When are they going to stop? When are they going to outlaw these maneuvers? I mean,
they're not trained well enough to do anything else. That's what they know. They can't actually restrain somebody without hurting them.
So if I recall from the story, he actually died in the hospital later on.
Yeah, 3 days later.
3 days later, as a result of that.
And they were needing. It was a mental health crisis, so they didn't need a cop there.
You're right. I did remember reading that. And hey, Denver, that's your program. Spread it.
Yeah, he called because they had an episode of paranoia.
And they just escalated the situation when they got there.
It's what they do.
And then, what, I mean, do we know what escalated, what, I mean, is he just freaked out when they got there, and then they tried to restrain him, and then
usually how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So they don't know any other way to restrain somebody. That's their trick.
As they were putting him on the ground, he was saying, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. He was already handcuffed when one officer put his knee on his,
every damn
the
time.
Back of
it's,
his neck.
And where was this at?
This was in, let's see, San Francisco.
In liberal ass San Francisco, do we know what happened to the officer? Are they in investigation right now? Have they been?
Yeah, he's surely being investigated, I would think.
Well, surely I would expect with the outrage with George Floyd that the officer would probably be charged with the crime as well. One would hope.
Yeah.
At least.
Does that ever actually happen?
I mean, they ultimately had 4 days later finally arrest the officers.
And then they give him a pat on the back, and they get off. They really just do it until it blows over, and then these people get off, and they shuffle them around.
They haven't been to court yet, right? The George Floyd cops, have they been?
They haven't been to court.
They haven't been to court yet, right? So
it's been a while.
They were trying to get it dismissed for the longest time.
Well,
I think
Kyle Rittenhouse still hasn't been to court yet, which is coming up soon. Isn't it?
Did they even find him? I haven't followed that.
Yeah, they found him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where
and
was
they,
he?
They decided that they weren't going to. He doesn't have to give his address. I guess he does to them, but they weren't going to make it public.
They weren't going to make it public, and they didn't increase his bond or whatever. They missed all that because they were getting death threats.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one because he's become an icon for the right for being able to get
He'll
away
get
with it. You think
so? I think so.
I mean, that's going to set a precedent, I think.
Well, I think it depends on where they pull their jury from, but
all
or,
you need is one sympathetic juror.
And
it's
or,
like a really bad remake of 12 Angry Men where they're just all racist instead of one of them.
I mean, not to get too technical with the law, but it also depends on what the jury instructions are, what they're able to be the fact finders on. So if they're not, it really depends on what the judge's jury instructions are for them, whether they can charge him for.
I think we can segue that into our main segment. If he does get off, we can cancel him.
He's
going to be loved on the right. That's
he's going to become like a Caitlyn Bennett type person that just goes around.
Oh, I think so. He's their hero. He's their fucking hero. Yeah.
He'll get a job. Alex Jones will give him a job.
He will do something. Now I think we kind of discussed before, but I mean, he will still have that. I mean, he won't have a happy life being who he is, but still.
I don't know. It's perfect for cancel culture, because cancel culture doesn't actually cancel people.
They push them into the segment of society that will accept them.
Well, it's a new stage of their career. They'll go, you know, find some way to do a canceled tour or some shit.
Well, before we actually move on to our main segment, we do have another ACAB segment I wanted to discuss because I missed it last week. So the Plano Police Department is investigating its own officers' handling of an encounter with a black teenager detained after walking in the road during Tuesday's winter storm. So someone apparently called and said there's a black guy walking the street, so they did a wellness
walking
check.
Walking while black. Okay.
Yeah, walking while black is the crime. And there's like, hey, man, do y'all need a ride? He's like, nah, man, I'm straight. Like, he did not want to talk to police because, of course not, he doesn't want them. I mean, the black community is obviously terrified of the police given the encounters they have. And they kind of kept following him and pressuring him. They're like, hey, sir, you need to talk to us. He's like, nah, I'm good. And ultimately, it arrested in him being detained and put in jail overnight.
I mean, legally, he doesn't have to talk to them.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He absolutely no. I mean, so they charge him for the crime of walking on the street, which, I mean, it's a snowstorm. I don't know if you can even identify
it. What was the actual charge?
There was no charge. They dropped all the charges.
But what was the charge before they dropped it?
Walking while black. I don't know. They didn't put anything on there. Obviously, the NAACP is involved in this now. And the Plano police chief demanded an internal investigation. It's always internal, and you know, nothing but a slap on the hand.
Yeah, they walk down the hallway, and everyone pats them on the back. That's their investigation.
Yeah, I mean, this kid was working late. I think he worked at Walmart. Was working late, left. I mean, yeah, kid was probably shivering and cold. He was walking home, you know, just in a t-shirt.
He's probably in a hoodie. I don't know.
No, it was actually in a t-shirt apparently, but the temperature was in the teens. It was cold out, but they decided that was enough to because he didn't want to stop and talk to them. They kept pressuring him. Ultimately, ended up his arrest, and he had to spend the night in jail for just walking home.
And that's why when black people say that walking while black is a crime, it's more evidence of that. At least the kid wasn't killed.
Yeah, this is almost a happy story.
Yeah, as sad as
compared to what we normally hear.
As sad as it is, you're not wrong.
No one kneeled on his neck in this case.
Right. Yeah, that's still sad. I mean, he was a young kid, too, so, I mean.
So, do you think his opinion on cops will change?
He's probably already hated cops. That's probably why he didn't
want
to talk to him.
He didn't want to, because I think he actually even said, cops scare him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, of course.
What do you think the cops just did to reinforce that fear?
Yeah, well, and that memory is going to be with him for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, just walking.
Well,
from
welcome him once he's radicalized.
I mean, can you imagine he's walking home and see his cop car pass, and now he's going to have that, you know, flashback there, and you know, it's a terrible situation, and I doubt anything will happen to the police involved.
No, of course not.
And they'll continue their behavior because that's what they do.
And A-cab.
What are they going to do? Give him tolerance training again?
Every single one of them, ACAB.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our main segment. Cancel culture had some nice, spicy memes about that the other day.
I did.
Yeah.
Well,
why was that cancel culture day for you? Like, you were just, that was like all day.
Oh, I just happened to, one of the groups I was in had a post asking for cancel culture memes, and I went in there harvesting. And I mean, I knew we were doing this show, so I was like, oh, this is fun, on topic.
I think this is something, some of these we will agree on, and some of these we will disagree on. I mean, there are some cases where people do not deserve to be canceled, and other times where it's the consequences of their actions.
Okay, so I strongly support cancel culture, but I don't think that every situation requires someone to be canceled.
Elaborate.
I think sometimes canceling people does more harm than good. Just because it gives them more attention.
Depends like, on I the get person. People, depends on what.
I get people who send me links of somebody who said some racist shit online, and they're wanting me to do something or post something, and I go over to this person's page, and they have like fucking 15 friends, and nobody's liking or commenting. No, leave that person the fuck alone. Nobody's paying attention to them. Do not bring attention to that person. Here in Knoxville, we have a church that's been harassing Planned Parenthood.
They're is that the ones that send their people out to, with the protests in front of mm-hmm. the on the days they do?
Yeah.
Is it every day they're out there? Or?
It's I think just one night a week they're okay. having okay. a service right across. But you know, there's
whip up extremist night.
Right. Like I'm not even going to mention their name because I don't think they need to be mentioned that much. They're right now in Knoxville. They're not getting that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't need to draw too much attention to them because that will just bring them more members. So yeah. I think some of these, like these little people that people aren't really paying attention to yet, when you go online and make a huge deal about, look what this person's doing. You're showing bigots where to go to. You're showing, telling them who to support. The, where cancel culture comes in is when they already have a platform. They're already pretty big.
And how they're using their platform and message. That's why I brought this up personally to you guys. My biggest person that needs to be canceled is J.K. Rowling because they're using their platform to spread their message.
Yeah.
And that their fame is being used to push what they are doing. Like we were saying, Kevin Spacey was using his career to do it.
Yeah.
Weinstein was... If they're using their career to
perpetuate
the acts that they're doing or to spread their message that they are doing, then that needs to be cut off there. And like Rowling has been like she's very influential and there's been multiple laws passed in the UK and Ireland in recent year that she focuses on the bathroom. Like they're having the same thing with bathroom laws. And she basically sees trans women as men
uh-huh.
who are going. Yeah, she follows that that trans women are trying to put women at ease so that they can violate them later. And do you know anything about the book that she wrote?
Oh, the one her pen name is like.
It was a guy's name too. Okay, I don't know what she's trying to say.
What's the whole point of her using the JK anyways?
Because I think the pen name was like some Nazi guy or something.
Was it really? I don't know. I think it's funny that she's like, fuck trans women, and then uses a male pen name when she makes her anti-trans book.
Well, and why she goes by J.K. Rowling on the books in the first place was so
Joanne
was when she wouldn't be immediately identified as a female, I believe.
Yeah, maybe. So, I think
apparently she couldn't get published if she didn't do that. I guess is it?
Yeah, I think her position as a feminist is iffy at best, even in the Harry Potter series, which I'm just gonna go ahead and say I think Harry Potter is neoliberal trash, and I kept that opinion to myself for the longest time because I'm like, let people enjoy things, but I can say it now.
Okay, so
why are people fantasizing about going to private school and becoming like better than the rest of society? I think the whole like thing behind it is pretty anti-leftist.
So her pen name is Robert Galbraith.
Yeah, that's it.
Robert Galbraith Heath is like the father of convergent therapy.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Fuck her. Fuck JK. I'm not JK. I'm not JK. I already hate her. She needs to be canceled right. more than anyone else because she is using her platform to pass laws.
Do you guys think
doubt that's a coincidence that she just happened to pick that name.
Do you guys think it's a little ironic that the right is so pissed off at the left canceling things when they perpetuated canceling since, I mean, ever?
Forever. But yeah. Colin Kaepernick is like the most modern. Like he lost his entire fucking career.
He absolutely did.
Picked up a really lucrative advertisement campaigns though.
But still, I mean, he was pretty much
But that's what you're saying about why we can't cancel them.
Because of the stance he took. He was canceled like a motherfucker.
That was completely fine with them. They saw no issue. But now that it's holding them accountable for their actions, they can't stand it.
That's because
it's not really even, like, at this point, it's not cancel culture. It's consequence culture.
Well, hold on. And do you guys
that's
remember?
That's because they had control of the culture before. They are mad at it because they're losing the culture wars. Like, the meme that you had posted previously was that, you know, in the 50s, they could control whatever. Like, if you're a communist, or a leftist, you're canceled. Your career is over.
If you came out as gay.
Yeah, if you came out, like, in the movie industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, your career was fucking over. And it's because they're mad at cancel culture because they were canceling before. Even in the 80s, you know, if you came out as gay, it would end your career. Mm-hmm. If somebody was stuck in a loveless relationship and they were, like, faking it for the news cameras and they came out as gay. Or if they had a leak, even leaked nudes ended people's career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And to the extent with Colin Kaepernick, not only did they cancel him, but then when Nike sponsored him, they started burning their own shit. They were burning their own shoes.
Same thing happened to Keurig. Like, Keurig, like, backed, I forgot what it was exactly. Maybe it was Kaepernick, or it was, they supported BLM, and they smashed their own Keurigs. That's what they do now, is the useless type of.
No, I'm keeping my shit that I bought.
Yeah, but no,
I'm
they
not
didn't.
Buying
they were so pissed off at them, and they record themselves doing it like they were some like patriotic heroes by burning Nike because, you know, Nike doesn't
left to right wing shoe brands. What can I wear?
Right, but I do think that, you know, cancel culture, canceling, you know, isn't always appropriate. I think we kind of a little bit talked about it earlier during the Me Too movement. There was a lot that needed to be done, you know, the Kevin Spacey, the Weinstein.
Yeah.
But Weinstein. Then the one that I do kind of want to defend.
Murdoch. I mean, he didn't get canceled, but it was the same shit Weinstein was doing.
But Louis C.K. was canceled pretty fucking hard.
He actually was canceled really hard.
Over, I think, well,
probably
he was using his position.
Things.
You know, he had to understand that he may have inadvertently or not known that he had the you know, because he would ask them if he could, you know, masturbate in front of them. But he didn't realize that it was, you know, his influence and power would just compel them to say yes. And he had a pretty, I thought, a legitimate, you know, apology and statement. But they canceled the shit out of him. And I'm actually,
his career is still hurting, yeah.
Yeah, but he actually did release a special in 2020 that I just now found out about when I was researching, when I looked him up to see if he was doing anything, and he did finally release something called Sincerely Louis C.K. last year.
And you said you didn't listen to it?
I haven't watched it yet, but that's next on my list.
I have.
Because I'm still a fan of Louis C.K.
I enjoyed it. It's funny. He like I said, he basically says that. He says that he didn't really understand that he's a person of power because he's always seen himself as just like a fat middle-aged like he just sees himself as a fat middle-aged comedian.
Right.
He didn't realize that he's gotten as famous as he has. So he's like, well, if this woman's here and if she says yes when I ask, then that's okay. He didn't really understand the position of power. I can see that in him because I follow his work and I know that's what he says.
I can see him being kind of humble and not realizing it. I don't know. I think in situations like Louis C.K., I think if people are going to realize that their actions are wrong, like how they behave after they're canceled,
and that's the other question
is very important. Like, did he bitch in his special? Did he bitch about being canceled?
No.
That's a big thing. A lot of these people on the right, after they're canceled, they go on and on about violation of free speech and this and that. If he's not doing that, I think that's a good sign for him, but I think we need to give people room to realize where they are wrong and then to correct themselves.
Yeah.
If we're not exactly giving them that space to do that, then what's the point in doing it?
And yeah, I do think that's important, that if they're canceling them and they just like cancel culture is kind of like you're gone forever, period. And it does need to be like, if it's not something like, you know, if it's not like a Bill Cosby thing or a Weinstein thing.
It really does depend on the...
There's definitely line. I don't want to see Kevin Spacey make a comeback. Like,
well, no, because as to what you spoke earlier, it wasn't... is because he was continuing to use his platform to have
Like, one of the things that I get in an argument with about cancel culture is I don't think that you should cancel their past work just because they were, like, caught. Maybe it should stop them from continuing their work, especially if they were using their work to do it. And Kevin
what about Harry Potter?
I mean, I didn't like Harry Potter to begin with, but I mean, like, no, my problem with Harry Potter is she uses her platform to push it.
Okay.
You pay money for a Harry Potter book. A portion of that money goes to increasing her platform. So, yes. So, if you can give me someone else who is using their platform to perpetuate hate speech,
so
then yes, I would say
David
don't give
Bowie
them money.
David Bowie has a really bad past, but
yeah.
You know,
he's
The
dead.
Labyrinth is still one of my
And like
my
I said, every single
movies.
Rock star has a bad past.
Right.
Like, you're never going to listen to any
it
classic
was,
rock Rockstar.
With
the Beatles, too.
The Labyrinth, there's so much more than David Bowie to that movie. And
that's
I'm not,
true. That's
I'm
true,
not
too. That's another point.
Throwing the movie out.
That's because... another true point that I have about like that in general. Like, you know, a leader of a band gets in trouble. Like, there's other members of the band. There's other people in the movie that you're canceling. There's other people's work here, and you're going to fuck all of them? Even Joss Whedon got in trouble recently. Is kind of getting hit with cancel culture, but it, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer has a bunch of other people who aren't in trouble. Like, mm-hmm. You're going to cancel all of that?
I mean, there's a lot of Kevin Spacey movies in the past that I still think I would enjoy
you
watching.
You just have
again.
To understand it now. Like, now I watch it and be like, oh, yeah, that guy's a douche. Or,
right.
Like, same thing with like music. So like, oh, yeah, they're a douche.
Because
they're people, and people are complicated, and people are often douchebags.
Right, so I would watch it and still enjoy the movie, but I'm glad that, like, for instance, Kevin Spacey is no longer having the ability to do so. So
well, I was it's also kind of hard with Kevin Spacey in general because he was busted. Like, his last thing that he was working on, House of Cards, he was molesting people that were working on that set. Like,
Jesus
so,
fuck.
Yeah,
oh.
So, so that makes it a little harder too, because you're like, oh, he was doing this like when the camera's off. Like, so, the movie Jeepers Creepers, are you aware of that and what that guy did, the director?
I did not. I know about the movie, but
well,
not.
Yeah, he raped a kid, and there's a movie where the kid that he raped is in the movie and he's the director of the movie. I haven't
what
seen it,
the fuck?
But like, yeah, so like. Like, I would not be able to watch that
Jesus.
Because you are watching the kid on screen and you know the guy filming him molested him. Like, there's some stuff like that where, yeah, I would not be able to watch that piece of work knowing that information.
Oh, geez, I didn't.
Oh, cancel Jeepers Creepers now. They're doing a reboot and the guy's not in there.
Are they really?
They're doing a reboot, but the guy's... I think he's actually in jail now.
Well, as he needs to be.
Like, after he made three movies.
I didn't see a single one of them. And I don't feel bad at all.
They were awful, fucking awful movies with Justin Long, wasn't it?
Yeah, Justin Long was in it. I don't know, I liked the first one, whatever.
Did you?
Yeah.
I may be just judging off the second one
is still fun, but not a good movie. I'm just a horror fan.
Oh, okay.
So, overall, I think cancel culture is a tool, and there are correct and incorrect ways of using tools.
Do you think the left bands together too hard and like echoes off each other to do this in situations where it's not appropriate?
I think they're a different type of people, because like in the anti-fascist community, I think we're a little bit pickier about it. And then you have, like, little baby leftists and liberals that get upset about something they see, and then they freak out. But it's something that could be corrected more easily.
Yeah.
And
yeah, if you're going to like you said, if you cancel someone too soon, you may push them, that you're radicalizing them to the left instead of being like, oh, you need to fix that.
You're radicalizing them to the right.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, you're radicalizing them to the right, where instead you could, like, actually have a conversation with them and be like... You can see where they go. You know, you can take a step and be like, oh, hey, you did something wrong. What do you actually think of what the wrong thing you did was?
Most people I know in the anti-fascist community, they're a little bit slower. Like, they focus on people with the platform that are spreading the ideology and focused on spreading the ideology.
What do you think about canceling over a single tweet that was just...
especially if
let me trigger Sam real quick.
Okay.
So James Disney gone. Canceled Gina Carano over a social media post regarding the Holocaust.
It was a recent one.
Yeah.
It wasn't an old one.
Yeah, it was very, I mean it was recent. I mean it was a recent, it was recent, but it was a single post. and she was canceled.
What was the post? I haven't actually
seen the post either. Oh no,
I knew she was canceled.
I think she was sharing something. She was comparing.
She shared a post. That was it. She shared a post.
Yeah, but it was
comparing the treatment of Republicans in the U.S. to Jewish people during the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And so her sharing that, then this, it prompted several users on social media to, you know,
I think that
demand her,
that
demand
kind of,
her. Removal.
I think it also depends. I mean,
I think that kind of argument is it's ignorant. I think
she's a
hard
right winger.
Okay, then that may not apply here. I don't know anything about her. But I think there are people who may hear that and may not understand the harm that it would do and would retweet it. And I think those are certain people there, they need to be educated on why this is so harmful. If somebody's far enough right...
She's been pretty honest about being right wing.
I mean,
I think this is an honest opinion of hers.
There needs to be consequences that I think people need to learn why things like that aren't okay.
It's a business decision in the end. Like I was saying,
100%.
Like I was saying about Disney. Like I was saying this before the show. I'll say it now again. Disney pretending to be woke is hilarious to me. Suck up to appeasing China.
They do, absolutely do.
Go on your rant.
Which one? The fact that Mulan was filmed outside of a concentration camp? Like, if anything needed to be... Like, in the credits, it says, like, thank you to the people that worked at one of those... how is it pronounced? The Muslim concentration camp out there. I'm not sure.
China?
Uyghur? Uyghur, okay. I've never heard it out loud. That's honestly the first time. But yeah, they appeased China with all their stuff. Like I was explaining earlier, Doctor Strange used to be Tibetan, and they had to change that in the recent movie because of China's association with trying to eliminate Tibetan culture. So of course, Disney has to be on board too. And so I think it's hilarious that, you know, all this stuff is a business decision. And they looked at, like, how is this going to look for us if we cancel Gina, whatever her name is.
Carano,
okay. Yeah. They're like, how is this going to look? Is this going to gain us favor or lose us favor? And they're like, well, most of the people that watch The Mandalorian are liberal or left, so I think it's going to be a good business decision. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if they look at something else and they're like, oh, we should put some gay characters in a new movie, they're like, yeah, no, we can't sell that to China, fuck that. They don't give a shit. Disney doesn't give a shit. They did this as a business decision because they knew that it would gain them acclaim at this. Like, so another example of, as you said, well, cancel culture is a tool, but it's also a tool that the right uses against the left because they know they're immune to it.
It was their tool originally, so
yeah, they use it as a... So Disney canceled James Gunn.
Right.
Over old tweets. It was one of those, like, James Gunn came out and said, fuck Donald Trump. So some right-winger went through all of his tweets back like a decade... And found some like bad joke he made. I can't remember what it was, but it was a bad joke. This is James Gunn who wrote Romeo and Juliet. Like he wrote like Roger Corman, like he wrote dirty, gross Roger Corman movies, like full of like bad, dirty jokes. And so they found one of those bad, dirty jokes and got him canceled. And he was like fired from doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
So I don't.
Didn't they reverse their position on that?
They reversed their position, but that's the point, you know? That was their business decision to cancel James Gunn.
So, when you get into old tweets, like, look, I've learned a lot in the last 10 years.
Same.
If I went back 10 years
to
my Facebook page,
let's cancel ourselves
from
our current position.
There's probably some things that would make me cringe
hard.
Yeah, of course. I would refuse to go back further than 4 years on my shit.
Because I didn't know better. I was raised in small, which I was more progressive. I still had no fucking clue about some things. And there's things now that I would look at and be like, what the fuck? I was gross. I see posts like this from my friends every now and then where they go through their timeline. It's like, hey, here's proof that, you know, I was an insufferable bitch at one point in time.
You could be like, let's cancel this bitch. Oh, that's me.
But if Sam, if you took something I said 15 years ago and put it up to who I am now, should I be canceled for what I did back 15 years?
Cancel him from the movie because of that.
Yeah, that was still Disney.
This was still Disney canceling someone over a tweet.
That's where I say we need to make sure that people have room to learn, grow, and become better. If we don't give them that space, we aren't helping anything. We aren't doing anything good. We risk radicalizing them further right.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's something we should risk.
Yeah. And to what Sam said earlier is very true. The right knows that they can get the left to rally around that. So.
And they're immune to it. Like, can't cancel Donald Trump when they don't give a shit.
No, they cheer on those kind of statements and things like that. I mean,
well, when they have their own little media outlets like AON and you know, Newsmax and shit like that, fucking Alex Jones makes a good bit of money, enough to have money people on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, okay, we'll go. Fucking Caitlin Bennett. She has her own little production.
Jesus Christ.
She's making money to go around colleges and harass people.
Yeah, she's like, maybe Gina will have a fruitful career working for Ben Shapiro and making movies for Pure Flicks.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Future.
So, before we continue on, I'll tell you who needs to be fucking canceled. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Did you see Did you see that fucking poster she put up outside her office?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's fucking disgusting. Well, because like the house neighbor, she's in the house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the representative like neighbor has a trans child, do they not? They do. They absolutely do. And so that's fucking disgusting to put that out there, because so she had a trans flag and she was supporting the Equality Act that was just signed.
Right.
That did pass today. Mm. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, being a little fuckwit she is, puts a sign that says, there's only two genders, male and female, trust the science. Go fuck yourself. Cancel that bitch.
See, how are conservatives going to latch on to J.K. Rowling's and hate her for witchcraft at the same time?
But to that extent, I think that there are some who jump too quick on the canceling. And I do agree to what you said earlier.
Usually liberals.
And it is usually the liberals, because they... Why do you think that is, actually? I was thinking because we kind of echo off each other. And
not we.
It's like blood in the water.
Not we. I mean, them. Yeah. Sorry,
the
thank
liberals.
You.
Well, I don't know. I think that there is some people on the left that are just as crazy about cancel culture as liberals. I mean, I feel like it is a liberal problem.
Well, it has
its
place. I mean, it does have its place.
Yeah.
Because if they're continuing to perpetuate the problems with the platform they have, then they need to be...
A lot of people just don't know how to use it. I mean, there's a lot of tools people don't know how to use, and that's one of them. Conversations like this are probably good, because people can realize the harm that they can do in some situations by using cancel culture.
And there's something you mentioned that I...
Like you said, it's not cancel culture, but more deplatforming.
Yeah.
With somebody like Gina up there, like, she's been, like... Her platform was raised and not lowered from this.
There's something you said earlier that I wanted to touch on, but we moved on. Was that you're absolutely right. Not only will it push them further to the right when they are canceled and further radicalizes them, but then the right will also then prop them up, because mm-hmm. they find that they're the new hero. They're the underdog. They're the martyr of whatever platform they're on, and so it does need to be used appropriately going forward, but. I think
liberals are reactionary, though. You know, they see one single thing and they kind of like freak out over it. When I think they should probably sit back and think about it. I'm been good at talking some of my friends down from that, mm-hmm. by explaining it, but
then the right still can't. I mean, the right are canceling. Just the most recent one I can think of again was Colin, but it'll happen again.
That's yeah, a, that was a while ago,
but they
ago,
raised
though.
His platform, who, too. That who, was a platform raise. His issue got spoken louder.
That, yeah.
He ended but, up, he his career, and his, that career ended.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has made plenty of money off of it, yeah. Which he does give back. He does do charity work, so I'm not saying he's pocketing all of that. But, I mean, yeah, like, the right thing, like, that's the other thing. The other side of cancel culture is boycott culture and how worthless that is. We were talking about them destroying their own shit, but liberals do that too. Boycott culture. I know anti-capitalist culture tries to do boycotts, but do they ever actually work? No, they don't fucking
No, work. They don't. I know that, especially, like, with the Chick-fil-A thing, like, they all band together to
like, you weren't eating here anyways, we don't care.
Yeah, to boycott Chick-fil-A, and now...
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yeah. But the I agree that boycotts just don't work from either side.
Mm-mm.
Because no one really wants to stop spending their money at the places they enjoy. Sure, they're going to, you know.
I don't know. I still won't spend money at Chick-fil-A.
I don't go to Chick-fil-A, obviously, because
I did like it beforehand, but I maybe like once a year I'll stop in there, and it's just because I desperately want something different while picking something up while I'm out. But it's. Yeah, I choose not to go there for the most part.
I choose not to go as well for the same reason, but I do miss those peach milkshakes, though.
I never had the peach milkshakes.
they're good.
I see a lot in video game culture, the boycott culture in video game culture, when some company, EA usually, Ubisoft, they step out of bounds by trying to monetize something in some outrageous capitalism way. That's one of the big things that has radicalized me as a person is how much capitalism has completely fucked over video games.
Uh-huh.
But those cancel, you know, those boycotts never do anything. Like, the games still end up making just as much money. Like,
speaking
people
of,
can't stop. Like, they can say they can stop buying. They won't stop buying it.
Speaking of boycotting video games, did you see the Illinois representative that wants to ban Grand Theft Auto because of the rise in carjackings in the state?
Do we need to explain to this guy that the it's been a decade since the Grand Theft Auto game has been made? Does he understand that they haven't made one of those in 10 years?
Okay, since it's been made, I was going to say it's been around a lot more than a decade.
Yeah, but they haven't even released any new games, like, even any
milking,
time lately.
They've been milking the
yeah.
shit out of that, the
GTA
Online.
It's not saying it's not relevant, but it's not like it's timely. Like...
It's just, I thought it was just the dumbest thing I saw that, because, you know, this isn't the first time they tried to ban video games for about,
yeah,
especially
Jack
Grand
Thomas.
Theft Auto. For some, they seem to, like, zero in on that game for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, you know, you can do whatever you want, so you think that all the libertarian paradise in Grand Theft Auto, you can do whatever you want, there's no regulations, except the cops still get called on you and they use excessive force. You can do you can do anything in Grand Theft Auto and barely tap a policeman's car and they'll get out and put your hands up and then shoot you.
Did you see the GTA mimics real life police, and it was a short video clip where, like, this black guy, this guy was probably San Andreas, because that's when you have a black character.
Yeah.
But like, one of the white NPCs up come up and just, he's just standing there he's just punching, like, the black character is getting punched and beaten in front of the police, and nothing happens. He swings once back at the NPC that's beating him up, and, like, the police just start shooting him immediately. I was like, that is police in real life with GTA. So in our last story, I wanted to, we'd previously discussed on episode 1 and 2 how obviously the impeachment was doomed to fail, and of course it was. But we're now looking at the two states, New York and Georgia, to file state charges on Trump. And we saw that, you know, yesterday the U.S. Supreme Court allowed his tax records to be released to the New York prosecutors, Vance, I believe. And today they received a treasure trove of all of his tax documents.
Yeah,
and something I want to talk about in Georgia, the Georgia lawmakers are trying to protect Daddy Trump by amending the Constitution to allow what's called statewide grand jury pulls. So instead of pulling from Fulton County, they're wanting to allow them to pull from the white areas.
The hills.
The hills. The hills. Because, but actually, you know what? this is going to be doomed to fail. It's probably still in committee or not even going to come out of committee.
The fact they're even trying.
And the fact they're even, well, they're not going to, it's not going to, it's probably not going to, you know, pass the floor vote anyways, because they don't have the majority to do so. And it also requires the voters to vote on it as well. But that gives me hope, because they're now scared enough to do this that the Georgia prosecutor will actually maybe file charges and
hopefully will happen. Hopefully one of many things against Trump.
Or all of them. I mean, you know, yeah. Answer for all of his crimes, maybe.
Yeah, well, perhaps. I don't think that's going to happen. I just hope that he's tied up enough in court that he won't be able to run again in 2024 like they think he will.
More than 165 bills restricting voting access have been proposed in 33 state legislatures.
That's the only way the Republicans can win.
That's absolutely it. Aside from gerrymandering, but voter suppression is the only way, because I know when voters vote, they're going to lose.
Gerrymandering is a type of voter suppression.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the only way they can win. They're going to lose the popular vote every time. And if they when voting is easier, they're going to lose.
Guess just, where
they're in the minority.
Guess where the worst ones were?
All southern states.
I'm going to say Georgia did some as well.
Georgia.
I'm going to go Georgia. Let's go.
They got to be pissed at them.
No,
turning
it can't
blue.
Be Pennsylvania. Wait, what did they make up
list,
a Pennsylvania?
It make a list of the worst ones. It just mentions Georgia as the worst one.
Of course they would, because that is exactly how it switched from red to blue, is because how easy they made it to vote during the pandemic. And so they sought to immediately rescind those and change those laws as a result, because they know going forward, if the climate stays the way it is in Georgia, they're going to continue to lose. I mean, losing the presidency is one thing, but when people are less apt to vote, like in the Senate runoffs, they still won that. That's a bad news for Georgia Republicans. They know they have to cheat to win. They have to step in to do something.
So they want to require absentee voters to submit their driver's license number, state ID number, or a copy of their photo ID with their ballot. They want to shorten the window in which voters can register absentee ballots. They want to prevent election officials from mailing absentee ballots until 4 weeks before the election. Limit the early voting period to business hours during the 3 week weeks preceding the election. Clarify that no one can give food or water to people standing in line to vote.
Wait, what? Why is that even a thing? Like,
let's just put them through hell while they're doing it as well.
Maybe if they pass out in the line from dehydration, they can't vote. I don't know.
Like, I mean, when I was voting, there was people giving us water and stuff, so they're like...
Yeah. I don't see why that's
just how are they going to argue that? How are they going to argue that's a good idea?
But aren't they trying to also remove the no-excuse rule? So it was their own rule. I mentioned this, I think, in our first episode. The GOP had a rule that, you know, you can do an absentee vote, you know, without really necessary reason, and now they're eliminating their own rule because it worked against them in 2020.
Yeah.
So, Republicans are going to do what they always do, and that's to restrict the...
Be dirty, underhanded bastards.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way they're going to continue to hold on to their power, and when they do have a minority, when people vote.
So, yeah, the state Senate also released some requirements, and one of them is that the voters have an excuse to vote absentee.
Yeah, and it's ironic, because that was their own fucking law in the past, but they realized that, oops, we can't have this. We're going to lose if it's easier for them to vote, so fuck them all.
They want to empower the state to remove local election officials from their posts.
That just sounds fascist.
Yeah. So yeah, Georgia is trying really hard to take
what happened in 2020. They can't let that happen again, and so they're going to do what they need to do to stay in power, because fuck them all.
Yeah, that's basically what you see with the right, is we a basic majority over them doesn't matter. Like, they still cheat and do whatever. That's why just going by the law books, they try to manipulate it so they can win no matter what.
Yeah, I mentioned last episode that because of gerrymandering, just by default, Democrats have to overcome a 5 to 6 point advantage.
Yeah, and what do Democrats do? They just suck it up. Oh, I guess we have to play by their rules.
I wish Democrats would play as dirty as they did in terms of gerrymandering. I mean, if they're going to do it, play by their dirty ass rules.
I was so disgusted by vote blue no matter who. Because anybody. I mean, we saw that with, what's the fucking New York? Yeah. Bloomberg, like, running as a Democrat. It's like, he shouldn't
Nobody
be.
Fucking wanted him on that stage. I loved how hard he got there, and just everyone just immediately started just throwing stones at his
fucking
head.
But the thing is when you say vote blue no matter who, what you're telling Republicans is they can come in here with kind of light policies for Republicans, and as long as they have that D on their name, you'll vote for them. Like, that's a stupid... Why I mean, would you even tell... It's like, scream, vote blue no matter who.
Depends because on who the other guy is.
Yeah.
I would say it depends... Well,
that's what... No matter
in
primaries, who.
In the primary... Of course, I mean... I don't know.
Are you saying that the Republican would have been better than him? Because... I doubt it.
I don't know if I would have even voted in that election. If it was Bloomberg, Trump, I don't know if I would have voted.
I mean, I would have definitely voted for Bloomberg over Trump. I would have voted for your dog over fucking Trump. I don't give a
fuck. He's a
fuck.
Good boy, though.
I don't give a fuck if it's like...
That's just it. Man, it made me sick to my stomach. Like, I was literally, like, depressed for a couple of days after voting in November. It killed me to put Biden down. I was so fucking... I wasn't even going to vote. My final straw was stand back and stand by. Before that, I was not voting. I was like, fuck you guys for giving us Biden. And then that stand back, I'm like, we have to fucking shut his followers down. I'm still disgusted by the fact that I had to vote Biden. But I do not regret that.
He's going to be the best president in my lifetime.
It's only been...
He is. He's already is. No. He's better than Obama. Are you saying Obama's better than Biden so far?
Because we voted for Biden.
It's too early to judge Biden.
It's only been a month into...
All he has to do is do something. But Obama did nothing for 4 years.
It's only been a month of Biden's presidency. And how many Proud Boys have been arrested? How many right-wingers are going to federal prison?
Well, they're still arresting
actually,
yeah, they actually are. Yeah,
but I mean, to the extent, I mean, to also to give credit where credit is due, like day fucking one, he started erasing all the fucking Trump's harmful policies.
Yeah, he turned them around immediately, but it was just back to Obama era.
Yeah,
he's putting kids in tent camps.
It's back to Obama era. He's doing the exact same shit Obama was.
You think Obama calls him and is like, "Yo, here's your plan for the day"?
No, because I think Obama didn't do shit. Obama was, like, the mediator.
Obama had a harder time doing shit. Well,
that's true, too.
I mean,
he didn't have the House and the Senate, so we'll see what he does with that. But Obama was the great mediator. He was like, I'm going to reach across the aisle. And he did that for 4 years.
And we got Trump afterwards.
Yeah, because
great
he tried to reach
across
the aisle. Yeah.
No, incorrect.
So all we needed from... You don't think he reached across the aisle?
No, you're incorrect that Obama didn't have both the House and Senate. He did at one point.
Very short. Because he was still trying to reach across the aisle because he thought that if he overstepped his bounds, then he would lose. And then he would lose that. And, he did lose that.
I think we're gonna fucking lose in 2 years. That's what fucking happens.
We're going to lose it.
I think 2022 is going to be...
I don't know. That's why we need to step up and do a little more than the shit that we have been doing. Isn't that?
I've been
gonna do some phone banks.
Also,
oh yeah, that's leftist phone banks.
I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I would like a leftist phone bank. I'm not talking about a Democrat phone bank.
I'm gonna be pissed if they don't expand the courts.
This is Sam.
That's
the,
one thing they definitely need
leftist
to do.
Coalition. How fucked are you by your employer?
Oh, that's
you,
what
do
I
you need to unionize?
The messages from the fucking campaign people.
I never got one.
Ask it. You never got any of them from mm-mm. No I got a lot
I
of
got
them
a lot.
From Biden
I got a lot from
but I would ask them I was like on a scale of 1 to 10 how likely are you to build guillotines if the DNC screws us again. I think it was a Bernie supporter that actually was texting me, which is who I voted for in the primaries. But yeah, I know I'm voting for Bernie, so this person is texting me about Bernie, and I'm just fucking with them. They did not continue the conversation after I asked about guillotines.
I get contacted for local elections only, for Tennessee State, for the Tennessee ones, and even the...
I had a
ones,
new number,
nothing...
and I was still getting mm-mm. Bernie stuff.
I would love to troll those people, but no, I never got them.
Actually, I think the Bernie stuff was going to the person who had my number beforehand, because there was a lot of them with the wrong name. like, hey, this isn't me. Bernie's getting my vote, but hey, how about this?
All right, guys. Well, we are, again, way over time. I'd like to thank you all for joining us for episode 4 of Apostates on the Fringe. You can follow us on social media and find show notes and the links to the articles on apostatepod.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a great one. Thank you all very much.
The views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the opinions and views of the Atheist Society of Knoxville.